Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, third hour. What's happening? Hour number three as we get you on the way home. Of course, it's Monday, and we still got a lot to squeeze in. A lot of football coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. Obviously, I got two more games tonight, the Texans and the Saints. It's going to be a good preview of two teams with a lot of talent and a lot of expectation. Saints almost a touchdown favorite, though. And the Broncos, still one of those tough teams to read. Who are they? What will they be? Joe Flacco's there. They're in Oakland for the final Monday night game at the Coliseum. Raiders obviously getting ready to go to Las Vegas. All right, Teak. I can't imagine our next guest was enthralled with his Steelers performance last night, but I'm sure he'll be very complimentary of Coach Tomlin. Terry Bradshaw, the great Hall of Fame quarterback, four-time champion, and just awesome on TV. He's been a TV staple for a long time on Fox. He's joined us many times. Terry, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon, gents.
What's going on?
We're almost through, huh? Great weekend. Yeah. I just got home to Oklahoma.
Okay.
I hit the oak trees up here. I can't see. My eyes are killing me from all the pollen, I guess. I don't know what it is. Then I get here and I find out how bad the Steelers got beat. And then I say, well, that's bad. Then I see where the Giants just got slammed. I said, well, that's not good. And then the Jets blow 17-0 lead. That's not good. And I got to talk to you guys. And that's great.
Yeah,
that's
well, listen, man. But there were some good stories, which we can certainly illuminate at some
for
point.
Sure. Yeah. Always are.
But yeah, we like to lead with the negative. You know how it goes here, Terry. So
yeah. It's television. I mean, it's radio.
Exactly.
It's both, but not today.
Yeah. So let's start with the inept, woefully mystifying, horrendous performance by your Steelers. What the hell happened?
Well, this game, you know, the teams and the great teams are driven by great coaches, great quarterbacks, talent. And in defense of Pittsburgh, they got a happy locker room, but they lost Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, two phenomenal players. Had they stayed in Pittsburgh, in my way of thinking, probably would have gone on and established themselves as Hall of Fame people. Now the spreading going out, who knows? Well, that's way down the line. But just talent, man. I was shocked. I didn't see the game. It's hard for me to get up at 4 o'clock and stay up that late and watch a game. I can't do it. I'm too tired. But I was shocked they didn't score a touchdown. Number one, and my wife did tape the game for me. But I've talked to a lot of people today, and
don't watch it.
They were just inept.
Yeah,
I mean, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't stop anything. Same. Hey, you guys have seen this Patriots offense: cross, 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 cross,
right,
cross,
right,
and then seam, then hit a seam, cross, 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 check up on cross zone, check up seam. I mean, it's the same thing. Then you get after them a little bit quick. Quick pass out, then the screen outside, then the delayed screen, and that's pretty much how they do it, and they just do it so well. They're coached so well, and they are defending world champions in Pittsburgh. Not ready. They're just not ready.
Yeah.
Not yet. They will be, I think, as later on, but they're not right now.
Yeah, no, look, we were both high on them coming into this season, but that was an egg that they dropped. But you mentioned Antonio Brown and him. If he had stayed with Pittsburgh, he'd likely be a Hall of Famer, and I mean, he could still go that route as well. BT, who's a Jets fan, hopes that Le'Veon Bell continues that trajectory to be a Hall of Famer and helps his Jets get to where they are. He actually played well despite the loss that they had against the Bills. But Antonio Brown, Terry, what happens with him? In New England, it's a different machine, so to speak. And he's not going to be able to get away with all the things that he's gotten away with in the past. What happens with him ultimately? And do you think this will be a success up there?
If he minds his manners and is a perfect gentleman and does everything they ask of him, his career will continue on. He's going to have to share it, though, with other people up there. Catching 100 balls, that belongs to the slot guy. So I don't think the numbers are going to be there. But I will say this. I do not see him surviving in New England. That It's not that I hope he doesn't, because I don't know him. I personally don't like him. I mean, I've never met him, but I don't like him. I've done a couple of things with him. He's always late. Always late. Disrespectful of authority, in my opinion. And Bill Belichick, it's not going to be a tighter ship than he's going to see up there. And what are they going to be lenient because of his talent? Oh, he's late for a meeting. Okay, we'll fine him. Are they? I don't see that. I don't think they need that in the disruption. I heard he's great in the locker room. Really? That's not what I'm hearing out of Pittsburgh, that he was great in the locker room. And why would you want to leave Ben Roethlisberger? And why would Le'Veon want to leave that when that system is so good for them? It's always about money, because you may get your money, but you got to pay taxes on that money. And you may not go to where you can excel like you are in Pittsburgh. So I got some serious doubts about this guy. I don't like him. I don't like the way he acts. I don't like it. Look, he's a diva, and he's not the kind of person I would want to play with. I don't care what his talent is, because you win with team. You don't win with me, and he's a me guy. And I just flat don't like him. I don't mind telling you.
Oh, wow. You definitely didn't leave anything up to interpretation. I got you. It's Terry Bradshaw.
How could I like him as a quarterback?
Oh, I don't disagree.
Like a guy like that.
I don't disagree, Terry.
Yeah, we say the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like you kind of want to like chalk it up to, oh, it's just the modern guy. But it just seems like he's a bad guy, to your point. You know what I mean?
Listen, we saw it with Terrell Owens, and I didn't like that. Anytime you have someone that says, hey, look at me. And then this guy, I'll tell you what really got me, was when he jumped up and said, I'm free, and runs out the house. And I thought, what a child. This guy's got some mental issues. And it's like a child. I just never seen anything. I'm totally baffled by the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm almost like, well, did they already have this set up? Was Rosenhaus already, did they already, hey, say if we can get him out of there, will you sign it? Yeah, we'll sign. I mean, I think I'm not the only one that thinks like that. I just can't figure this out, man. It's confusing to me. But childlike behavior. And I don't know that I could. I'm shocked they brought him in. I don't think they need him.
Yeah.
They got Gordon.
Yeah, you're
Gordon's
right.
He's actually a good dude. Gordon's a solid dude. He just got some demons.
Yeah,
you
well,
he's got some drug demons.
Well, he likes smoking marijuana, and that's not something that a lot of this country would frown upon anymore, to be honest with you.
Not anymore.
So, Terry, why would a guy want to leave Oakland, right? Why would AB want out of Oakland? It seems like an ideal destination right now, because they're heading to Vegas. And if you establish yourself, you know what I mean?
Disrespect. I mean, who wrote that stuff about a village and all that? Like, where is this coming from? Does he got a book of there's like memoirs? Does he have a book of psychological twisters? I mean, I have no idea. I know he's not smart. He cannot possibly be smart to walk away from the money that he left on the table. Now he goes to New England. He's got to be the perfect citizen to make up and get that money. But he already had it guaranteed out there. No guarantees where he went. And so I say to myself, I want to be the best human being I can be. I know my talent will speak louder than what my words will as. But I'm telling you right now, for $29 million over the next 2 years, you won't hear a word out of me. All the thing you're going to hear from me is a celebration with my teammates when I score and when we win football games, and that's it. $2.9 million bucks, and you got me, Jack. $29 million? Gee, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, the decimals are relevant.
Nose up at $29 million. Can you even imagine that kind of thing? Is that sound? Is that rational? I don't think so.
No, that's not rational at all.
No. That's a nut job is what that is.
Hey. Terry, a non-nut job. One of your former teammates, I don't know if you heard this yet, but Lynn Swann is stepping down, I think effective immediately, from the athletic director position out at USC. Have you talked to him? Have you heard what's going on with Lynn out there?
No. It's first I've heard of this.
Yeah.
This just happened today?
Yeah, it happened. We heard it about 20 minutes or so, 30 minutes or so, but it was just curious,
really?
If you had heard anything that was going on.
No,
we know he'd had some
no.
issues with the basketball program and the football programs on some, you know, they haven't been a on par as of late, but it was shocking to us. I just was curious if you had any insight.
Yeah, I wonder. I have no idea. You got me off guard on this one.
Yeah, we're not trying to. It's all good. If you don't.
No. I understand. I know if I have some information, I'd give it to you, but I don't have any. I don't talk to Lynn. I hadn't seen Lynn in years, so I just have no comment. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Yeah. I know, being in Los Angeles for the first time this weekend, and I got this morning's paper, but I didn't see anything about him under fire or anything.
You know, Terry,
I mean, they're 2-0 out there.
Yeah, and they just destroyed Stanford. I want to ask you, and I wouldn't have even thought that I would ask you this question, but you just said it, and I think some of our audience is curious too. You know, the relationship from a winning point of view that you had with Lynn Swann, and you just said you haven't spoken to him in a long time. Like, that confounds me. How can somebody that's so vital to you and you to him, reciprocally, and how do you guys lose touch?
Well, we don't have anything in common. I think as we go through our lives, our friends are people that we share. We have like values. All my friends are in the horse and cattle business. Every one of them.
Got it. Got it.
And all my and the other friends are at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. My family, my horse and cattle business, and Fox. I have remained close to Joe Green, Mel Blunt, Rocky Blyer.
Okay.
Franco Harris. And I talk to those guys two times a year, three times a year, but we're scattered everywhere.
I hear you.
Yeah.
But primarily, I had nothing in common with Lynn and didn't ever hang with Lynn or Stallworth or any of those guys. So that's just life. I mean, your friends are probably guys that you share a common goal, common likeness. That's how your friends normally evolve, and that's how you hang on to them. So
that's true.
No, I don't dislike
no,
Lynn.
No, I got you.
Nothing, but I'd love to see him, but.
Well, now you can see him. He's got a lot of time on his hands.
maybe you can get him into the horse and cattle business.
Oh, I doubt that. Well, you know, he left Pittsburgh to take that job. I'm wondering. Yeah, now you got. I'm gonna have to look into this.
Yeah, now you got to call him up. And say, what the hell happened, Lynn? Hey, you are working with Ford. This is actually really cool. The Ford Hall of Fans, which celebrates and honors passionate fans. Three Hall of Fans went in last year, Pittsburgh, Miami, and Chicago. And now Ford is looking for a 2020 class. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, it's actually something that's pretty cool. My agent pitched me to Ford, not for this, just pitched me because I've never driven anything but a Ford, and I've owned well over 40 to 50 trucks being in the ranching business. And he was trying to get me you need to have Terry Bradshaw because he's a Ford guy. He's a true Ford guy. And that didn't get me anywhere until this. And then Ford wanted me to be the host of this. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. And the fan thing was obvious, was easy. And then a Pittsburgh guy ended up being selected into the Hall of Fame named Rick Holman. So I went to his house. I saw his memorabilia, his ticket stubs for just years of ticket stubs, his house, his car, a true Hall of Fan. I mean, he made – and so I was able to go and present him with, hey, you're in for the final running, you know, not that he won. So I was proud to be a part of that and see all the other guys that went in. And it's just a great idea by the NFL and the Hall of Fame. It's a great idea for Ford, who sponsors Fox. Ford got involved. And it's good for America. Anybody can select, you know, submit their stuff, and they'll be evaluated and selected and have a chance to go into the Hall of Fame. Now, listen, when you go into the Hall of Fame, this is what's cool. You get a jacket and you get a ring. And when I went up to the Canton to do the spots, they had Rick come over from Pittsburgh, and he did them with me. And he had his jacket and his ring. I went, good gosh, look at this. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So it's a pretty fancy thing.
Yeah.
And it's great awareness for Canton, the NFL, great awareness for Ford. I'm just glad to be a part of it. And I'm thankful to my agent for pushing me on them.
Yeah, well, it finally came through. I mean, after
yeah. Not a lot of money, I might add, but still.
You don't need money.
You got lots of cattle to pull, man.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You need
a lot. Oh, yeah, I'm rolling in money. Money's not my problem.
Hey, Terry, we always appreciate the candor. It's a really cool initiative by Ford. Interesting thoughts on AB. Keep doing your thing on the tube. We know that you will.
We'll do it, fellas.
Thanks, you, Terry.
For having me on.
Appreciate you, Terry.
You got it, buddy.
Website to go to nominate your Hall of Fan class
is cool,
FordHallOfFans.com.
Do you get a bust? Do you get a bust in the Hall of Fame? What do you get?
I don't know. That'd be interesting. Is Fireman Ed going to be up for this?
Listen, I know Ed, and I like Ed. But you ask a lot of Jet fans, and they're saying there's no way.
He jumped off.
He was also a Dolphins fan to start.
He was a Dolphins fan back in the day. I think the Giants license plate guy, you know that guy?
I do know that guy.
I think Joe Robach, I think he would definitely. He's epic fan.
How about the barrel guy from the Broncos? Is he still alive? Because he was,
That's a good question.
When we played them in the AFC Championship game in 98, he was not young.
No, you're right.
I mean, I hope he's still alive for sure, but... Maybe it's
the Redskins had one, had a few of them back in the Hog days.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're still around though.
Yeah, they were in that Visa commercial, right? They were dressing up as the Hogs. All right, coming up, what do we got coming up? How about some of the great quarterback performances? We obviously kind of honed in on the negative. That's just the way the medium goes, unfortunately. But we did, we got some positive with Lamar. Now we have to get deeper into Dak. We have to get deeper into Mahomes. And obviously the games tonight, Tiki and Tierney, two of them. You get a little Monday doubleheader, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. No TV this hour, just on the radio, CBS Sports Radio. Of course, all of our affiliates, radio.com. On Twitter, got to jump in on the poll. What do you think the Pats will do now when Antonio Brown gets thrown into the mix? And the options are 16-0. Right now, that is reflected by 15% of you. 15-1, that is 12%. The money spot seems to be 14-2 at 45% and three or more losses at 27%. And before we get to Dak, sometimes you hear it, and Teague and I, over the course of the interview with Terry Bradshaw, who's just incredible, we looked at each other a few times like, wow. Now, when you actually hear the words and it's not coming from him, just listen to this. I do not see him, this is a quote, I do not see him surviving in New England. I don't know him, but I don't like him. I've done a couple of things with him. He's always late. He's disrespectful of authority. I've got some serious doubts about him. He's a diva. He's not the kind of person I would want to play with. You don't win with me, and he's a me guy. I know he's not smart. He's not possibly smart to walk away from that kind of money he left on the table. He's a nut job. End quote. All right, Terry, no mixed messages.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys are lucky their quarterback is not that way.
No.
Like Antonio
Very
Brown.
Very predictable personality.
I got to tell you, I didn't know what really to... I knew that he would make some advancements in his fourth year now, Dak Prescott, as a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. What I saw yesterday afternoon, I should say, because it was a 4 p.m. start against the New York Giants, convinced me that Dak Prescott is going to be one of those $30 million a year guys. And you doubt it because you haven't fully seen him command an offense. You've seen him be in control of an offense and control, the defense. You've never seen him command it like he did last night. Now, some of this is the Giants defense is woeful. Right now, they're young, and the guys that are older, they don't want to tackle. They're out of position, and maybe the defense is too complicated. But whatever it was, Dak exploited it and took advantage of it. And so the questions that you had about Dak were, one, is he good enough to be one of these $30 million a year guys? Because before the start of the season, you're saying, yeah, he's probably like a $27, $28 million just because he plays the position. He's been a starter for 3 years. Of course, he's going to make upwards of 20-something million. But now you start to say and become confident, if you're the Cowboys, we can afford this guy because he is our long-term answer. And I think he started to prove that because it's a long season, but he started to prove that with his week one dominance. There's no other word for it, dominance of the New York Giants defense. The other question that he still has to work on that we will find out over the next 3 or 4 weeks, next couple of months as well, BT, is, yep, is he elite? Does he have the ability to climb into that top 10 to 5 quarterbacks in the National Football League? I don't know yet, mm-hmm, because I think the Giants' defense was anemic. I need to see him against a really good defense and see how he performs. But I liked what I saw. I was impressed. I was really impressed with Dak Prescott
so
against
was
the
I.
Giants.
I'm sorry, T. So was I. And I've always liked Dak. I think it was when you were out this came up, and I really kind of got deep into the weeds of Dak. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of steady character, especially at that quarterback position.
That's right.
You just can't compromise it. I'm a fan of easy leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of natural exuberance. I'm a fan of getting my team in the end zone without giving it to the other team too often, which he so clearly does. The numbers back it up. Look at it. He's a big, strong, sturdy, thick kid. He's tough. You can tell that the pressure of the position for that team, which is paralyzing and stifling for many, doesn't even remotely faze him.
Not at all.
Teague, and I'll tell you what, Randall Cobb's got a little juice left, too.
I know.
Randall Cobb can still
it's
wiggle.
It's funny you say that because you ask about him Friday?
Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday. Yeah, you said, what the hell happened to Randall Cobb? We talked about
I said he's on Dallas, but did he have a good summer?
Yes, but we didn't know. Yeah, nobody mentioned. We knew he was there,
exactly,
but it's like we didn't hear his name all summer long. I don't know if he played the preseason. I think he may have had one catch or whatever it was, but he was a non-factor. But the Cowboys receivers all of a sudden feel like elite. Obviously,
Gallup
was fantastic. What do you have, 140-something yards, almost 150 yards receiving, and then Amari Cooper had over 100 yards receiving. Randall Cobb had the touchdown.
And Zeke still got to shed the rust, too. Zeke's going to be even more influential
in the passing game. They pulled him because they had the fortune because they were dominating so well. They didn't have to get unnecessary hits. Like the Cowboys, skill position-wise on offense and even effectively on defense as well, feels about as good as we've seen them in the last decade plus, maybe. Everybody's clicking. Their offensive line is fantastic. Dak doesn't get hurt. And they were talking a lot about this on the broadcast, and it makes sense, and it's really scary if you have to play the Dallas Cowboys on a regular basis. Jerry Jones, if he did do one thing well when he first bought the team back in the 80s, was keep the big three together. And so came in about the same time, and they were able to grow together all at about the same time, so that once they got fully baked, I mean, they were one of the best teams in football in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. One of all time.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like he might have, whether it was accidental on purpose, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
He has stumbled upon it again. And so if you're an opponent, a consistent opponent, Giants, Redskins, Eagles of the Dallas Cowboys, after what we saw in week one, you should be a little bit scared.
Well, it's going to be a two-team race all season, and quite possibly it could be a two-team race, for the next two or three seasons.
I think you're right.
The Giants, I don't know that they're miles away from being good, but they're certainly nowhere near it. And I would say the same for the Redskins, despite the scare they dumped on the Eagles for a little bit here. How about this, though? Just a couple of things, the little loose ends that Teague didn't hit. So Dallas now, they go at Washington, and then they play at Miami. They host Miami. So they'll be 3-0. You would listen, I guess anything can happen in Washington with a rivalry game. But if they play halfway with integrity, they'll be 3-0. That'll gear them up for the Sunday night game at New Orleans, which is going to be awesome for all of us, September 29. Then they've got the Packers, okay? So you've got back-to-back tests after a little easy space there. I think it's almost irresponsible to talk about Dak without throwing Kellen Moore's name in there.
Agreed.
You got to talk about the modernization of this offense, and I just think it's the early part of what they're going to do. Dallas Cowboys can win the Super Bowl this year.
What?
They can win the Super Bowl.
Well, here's what BT's talking about. It's little things into your offense that old-school coaches don't put in. Like, they don't put in a built-in bubble or, you know what? We're screwed if we have a run play called. We're screwed if we try to run this play. Right? It's going to be 1 yard in a cloud of dust. Forget potentially three. So instead, because we have man coverage or at least a loose zone on the outside, I'm throwing a bubble screen or just a hitch, a one-step hitch to my wide receiver who can go pick up 5 or 6 yards. And if he gets lucky, he splits it. Right? That it's a little tiny thing, right? But it makes a huge difference in offensive execution if you have a quarterback that can recognize and read, like Dak is now is developed into doing, and make the right decisions at the line of scrimmage. So I got to tell you, I didn't know what to expect. I'm surprised, and unfortunately, it was at the expense of my New York Giants, but Dak looked amazing yesterday.
He really did, and very fast, independent of the Dallas Cowboys and the Dak stuff. Just a quick thought on Eli, not even about how he played yesterday, because we all know he played well.
He did.
If you're banging on Eli, you're just misguided, you're desperate, right. You're unhappy, whatever it is. But do you realize that, and what is this symbolic of? I'm not even sure. But Eli is now only one game over 500 for his career.
Wow.
And how sad would it be? Because, listen, the Giants aren't very good. You know that this year. Eventually, Daniel Jones is going to play. Listen, they're playing Buffalo coming up this week. Buffalo's defense is brutal. I could see the Giants maybe certainly losing that. Then they play at Tampa. All right, you could win that. Then you play the Redskins. All right, you could win that. But then you play the Vikings. You play the Pats. Imagine if Eli Manning, before he gets benched, if he gets benched for Daniel Jones, he's going to, in all probability, by a couple of games, have a sub-500 career record.
Yeah.
Think about that.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Because it's not...
They haven't been very good for decades.
It's not telling of how important he's been to the organization,
yep,
and the success that he had when the teams were good. But that's the risk you take, though, when you play as long as he's played on a team that went through, like, some transitions that just weren't well handled.
Oh, Stafford's going to have the same deal if he stays there, right, without the two championships.
You're right. You're right. But Stafford isn't viewed the same way.
No, he's not.
Right? And
he's viewed as more talented, though. That's the crazy part about
I know.
It. He's more talented than Eli.
I know.
He is. He's faster, but he's got a better arm.
But Eli had success. He won Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm not here to bring that up. I hear you. He's a two-time champ.
But when you think about a quarterback who won multiple Super Bowls and Super Bowl MVPs and has a name that resonates,
mm-hmm,
his career record is gonna it shouldn't define him, but in some people's minds it will.
It might for some.
Yeah, you're right. It is unfortunate. It is what it is, but it's unfortunate.
All right, we got some football tonight. That's what it is. Two games, 7 Eastern, 10:20. We'll get to that final game at Oakland Monday night. So we'll hit that after Axe update, which is right now the blast as well. Axe.
All right, it is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Zach Matlock, not John Matlock, the old pitcher. Zach at Pitmaster 103181. He says, all right, guys, can we all admit that Winston's not only a crappy human being, but also a bust? I mean, listen, we had Jameis in person at the Super Bowl last year.
Yes, in the chair.
In the chairs.
Which we need to do more
often. Which was dope.
We got to find a way to do that.
That's pretty sweet. We've been very critical of him as a young man as he learned to find himself. But we both walked away with him being very likable and seemingly trying to fix himself off the field.
Yes.
But on the field, he is absolutely in the bust territory, yeah, no doubt about it.
I don't know how.
See that screen pass he threw for a pick six?
Yeah.
What in the world? That's a rookie throw.
You throw it away.
Ugh.
If it's not
terrible.
Screens are simple, by the way. If it's not clean, throw it in the ground. There is never, ever anything good that comes from, I think I can slip this in. Right to a screener when it's messed up, throw it into the ground. The good ones do it all the time.
He did not. Jimmy Garoppolo didn't look that good either. But Winston first.
I learned nothing in that game.
I agree with you. Except that I probably shouldn't have drafted Peyton Barber late. Not that I took him
because
early,
because Jones has gotten all the carries.
Yeah,
right?
What's going on? Think my team stinks. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care. I already know. I knew last year after 1 week I was dominant. I know after 1 week this year I stink. O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hey, just a reminder, week 2 of the NFL season begins, of course. Many of you will head to Miami for a divisional showdown between the Pats and the Dolphins. 17-point favorites. That I really believe that might balloon to 20 points. And you say, wow, only 3 points. 3 points in a pro game is equivalent to like 10 or 11 in a cop. Like, that is almost unfathomable unless there is a big injury to a superstar. I think the public knows how bad Miami is, how good the Pats are, and I believe that thing's going to touch 20.
It might go over 20, to be honest with you.
I guess anything's conceivable.
Seriously. Don't lose 59-10 in the NFL. I've said this so many times today.
Yeah.
You just don't lose 59-10 in the NFL.
It's hard to do. It's really hard to do.
Hopefully we get a second, a better game out west. Mahomes and the Chiefs get it on with the Raiders. It all begins the NFL today on CBS. What was the biggest spread?
The only thing, though, BT, you have to watch.
Yeah.
This happens frequently with Belichick and his former understudy.
Doesn't want to embarrass him?
Yeah. Huh? I'm serious.
That's interesting.
Right, happened with Patricia last year. Did they beat him?
Well, the Lions actually beat him.
Yeah.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Kiki and Tierney.
All right, so the Bears thought they had kicking woes last year. The Colts have them this year, although we all expect, we think, Adam Vinatieri to get it going at some point. But he is 46, and he did miss three kicks to cost the Colts a win. They were 6.5-point dogs. They should have won that game. Is it time for Adam Vinatieri to hang it up, Tiki?
I mean, I got to see this over another game because I like Adam Vinatieri.
I do, too.
I kind of want to see him play until he's 50 just because it's just unique and ridiculous, and he's still jacked.
Hall of Famer.
But I guess at some point age catches up to everybody, and maybe it was offseason work ethic or just, I don't know, just was off today. I don't know. Who knows? I'm going to say no. It's not time for him to hang it up unless I see him perform it this badly again, which is rare.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'll give him certainly the professional benefit of the doubt. The only thing that's worrisome, this game was in L.A. and it's September, which means it's 90 degrees and it's basically perfect turf and kicking conditions. I mean, I don't know if it rained the day before. I shouldn't say perfect, but it's not like it's in Chicago with blustery winds in November. You know, if he has problems back at the not the RCA Dome. What is the name of that stadium? But all the names change. What is that called?
The old...
what's the name of the stadium where the Colts play? Lucas Oil, I think. Right? It's Lucas Oil. If he has issues there, you know, with benign conditions, but no, we give the future Hall of Famer another chance to get himself going. Todd Gurley, just 14 touches. Is it smart to limit his touches early? I think, yeah, listen, you and I talked about this a lot. Anytime we got into the Rams, it was a huge story this summer, obviously, based on the way he looked at the end of the season, most specifically his subpar, lackluster, invisible performance in the Super Bowl. Listen, I think that if you can straddle that line of making sure that you win the game, which they did by 3 against Carolina, they were 2.5-point favorites, by the way, and still manage his touches and keep him fresh, not just because of his arthritic, even if he was fully healthy, I would say that. You know, the Rams are supposed to make a long run and play 18, 19, 20 games this year. Well, not 20, because that would mean a wild card. Play a lot of games this year.
Yeah.
And you're going to need him, so I'm okay with this.
By the way, he had 14 touches and 97 yards. So it's
that's
not like,
true.
It's not like he was anemic. He went out there and provided what he needed to provide for this Rams team to win. Malcolm Brown is a very good backup. He averaged damn near 5 yards a carry and had 2 touchdowns on the ground. So they're okay in the running back position. And if you can keep the wear and tear down on Todd Gurley, who you need for in the entire 16, hopefully 20 weeks, if you're the 17 or 20 weeks, I should say, if you're the Rams, absolutely, you can limit them.
All right, little NBA nugget here. The NBA reportedly banning players from wearing the popular ninja-style headbands that surfaced a year ago because, quote, they're unprofessional. What's our thoughts on this?
I mean, I can see that. They're a little bit of a distraction, but it's a slippery slope because if you start banning the headband, because they can wear headbands, just not certain headbands, are you going to start, you know, opining on the guy, way the guys are wearing their hair?
Well, you can never do that.
I know, but what's the thought? What's the
what's the limit?
Yeah, the limit?
Which is why I'm very happy that they implemented this. It looked sloppy, man. I mean, I love, and especially with basketball, you really have it because the NFL doesn't let you. And, you know, in baseball, the uniforms are relatively uniform for lack of, the different word there to not be redundant. But in the NBA has always been about originality, whether it's baggy shorts, cool sneakers, unique socks, cool hairstyles, the tattoos. I mean, I love that. The wristband, you know, high on the wrist or through or low on whatever. Those tight shorts, those pants now.
The
compression running shorts that we all have. They wear, they're okay with that. The thigh pads. But there's got to be limits. That ninja style headband, it looked sloppy. It really did. I didn't like it at all. Good for the NBA. All right, this is not good for the Cubbies. They lose Javier Baez, maybe for the season, with a fracture in his thumb. Are the Cubs still contenders? Now, listen, if you listen to the show, I have been a little less enthusiastic about the Cubs this year compared to my partner.
And this only changes this. I mean, this only makes it even,
reinforces,
you know. Yeah, this only reinforces that thought. I haven't loved them this year. I haven't loved their pitching. Listen, when they hit the hell out of it and they mash. But it's just a lot of teams that have played a little bit better from top to bottom. And not just in the National League, but in baseball in totality. The Braves, I think, are a better team. The Nats are red hot. The Dodgers are better. Cardinals lead the division. I don't love the Cubs this year.
And they're starting to get hurt. I mean, Morrow's been on the IL forever. Kimbrel is now down on the 10-day IL. That happened a week ago, a little bit over a week ago. Chris Bryant, he's day-to-day with a knee. Addison Russell got hit in the head, so he's also day-to-day. I mean, it seems like they're a football team, to be honest with you. That's what it feels like when you look at their injury list right now. And the problem is that they're top-heavy. Like, their starters are great. The Rizzos and the Chris Bryants and Baez, et cetera. Uh-huh. You go, oh, who's your backup shortstop? Well, it's Addison Russell. He's also hurt, mm-hmm. right? So it's, I'm starting to fall off that bandwagon a little bit because you're just hurt.
It's September. Eventually, you kind of are who you are.
And if you're hurt, how are you getting better?
That's
so
true.
I'm going to say, yeah, they're only a game and a half up, I think, on the Diamondbacks.
They have 66 losses. The Diamondbacks have 68. So they have two up in their pocket in terms of the loss
and
count.
And one on the one in the win.
Yep.
So
Nadal wins the U.S. Open, but upset with his opponent, Daniil Medvedev, for fast pace in the finals. The issue with Medvedev's playing at such a quick pace, what is it? Do we have an issue with this?
No, I don't have
really
an issue
have no
with
opinion
it.
On
Look,
this. I was watching
Rafael football. Nadal was dominating him in the first two sets. It was like quick, blink, blink. This thing
By
was
the
gonna,
way, take the whole minute because you
yeah,
can speak
exactly.
for me.
This was going to be over in, you know, three sets, you know, an hour and 20 minutes. That's what this was headed.
Okay.
Medvedev, who is found the ire of all the fans. He's like the bad boy.
Like Sergio Garcia back in the day?
Yes, exactly. Right. And he like loved it. And he was playing it up. Like, boomy, come on, let's go. Realized he had to change his tactic, right? This methodical, let me get up here and serve so he can return this serve. It wasn't working for him. So you change it. You quick pitch. It's all different in baseball, right? If you're not going to get in the box or you're going to lollygag your way into the box, I'm going to quick pitch you so you're not ready. He did the exact same thing, and it worked. It was an epic five-setter that was entertaining. So do I have a problem with this? No. Should Nadal have a problem with it? I can understand why, but he just got outplayed for a little while.
All right, Teague.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
He still won his 19th overall Grand Slam, which is slowly catching the Fed man. Nadal's going to pass him, ultimately.
He's going to get there.
Yeah, he will.
I'm just looking at this real quick on CBSSports.com about Lynn Swann, and then we'll give you our picks for tonight real fast.
Does it have any?
No meat, no juice. We've got a statement from their president, school president, Carol Folt. Lynn's been a leader on and off the field at USC for nearly five decades, and he will ever forever be a valued member of the Trojan family. All right. I mean, so the way it's put there, it doesn't seem like there's any sort of divorce
bad.
Or nastiness coming.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like anything bad has happened.
But if there has, we'll find out.
But we never know. It's shocking.
We knew
they had some issues with the basketball program. Andy Enfield
from Florida Atlantic.
Yep. He's a coach. The football program.
I mean, golf. Pardon me.
Yeah, Florida Gulf Coast. Okay. The football program has fallen on some harsh times, but they started the season well.
Yeah, they drummed up Stanford. Man,
drummed
they killed
up surprising. That surprised me.
Big surprise.
And it feels like things are headed in the right direction, but we don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
We shall see. Texans-Saints first game. 6.5 points, Saints. Forget about that. Who do you like to win?
Saints.
You don't think it's close?
I do, but I think the Saints win.
Yeah, I'd like to see a shootout tonight.
That'd be great.
Standalone game with the Bears and the Packers,
yep.
Which was heinous. Give me a shootout. I don't know exactly who the Broncos are, but I'd be very surprised if they don't find a way to win this game at Oakland tonight.
Yeah, this one, because we also don't know who the hell the Raiders are. I mean, this is like.
But there's more known commodities on the Broncos.
Yes, I agree. It's late start, 10:20.
Fancy too.
You're right.
It's a late start for us.
But we'll watch it.
We will. It's our job. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Have a great Monday night. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.